Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Hi, it's Marcia, Casper Cook, and we have a great show today. We have a show that I have not had in a long time. We're having children's authors, and I think it's time we have more shows like that. That's why we're going to have them today. Had it today. You know, I've been doing the romance shows, everybody knows, and horror book shows and a lot of other shows, marketing, but I think it's time that we get back to the basics and worry about our kids. So we'll talk about that. And let's see. Hopefully, the blog talk, everything will go fine. One of the authors is not here, Bobby Schaefer. I don't know what happened, but if she comes in, I'll try to put her in. But we do have two of the authors here that have been on JD's show, Holiday, our children's show. And after I'll tell you the announcements. Okay, Thursday's show is with Fran Lewis. She has a great show planned. She's got Rayanne Thane and Haywood Smith. It's a two-hour show, and she's a book reviewer, and then she has discussions. It's great. I mean, and you find out a lot of facts about a lot of these authors and what they do, and she has a lot of best-selling authors on there, and so it's an interesting show because their perspective is very similar to people that maybe have just gotten in this business. It's never that easy because it's always what is your last project. And we'll talk about, so she'll have that show on. That's at 4 o'clock Eastern. I have a show next Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Eastern, and that is a romance show, special one. Bethany Cross is there, Melissa Keir, and Elizabeth Black is the co-host, and we're going to have a great time on that show because we're going to discuss romance show, the romance blogs, the romance books, and a lot of different marketing tips that we've been getting over the last few weeks that have been really great. And that's it. And so now I'm going to bring, we have two very good guests on here that I heard on JD's show, and it's early show in the morning. It's a great show. It's about 20 minutes to a half hour, and authors read their books, and the kids listen. And we have a lot of people listening, and it's an on-demand show, so the kids love it. And these are two of the authors that have been on, so I asked them if they would come on because I enjoyed listening to them, Alan Stotz and Aggie Wilson. Alan, did I say your name right? Did I do it right?
It's Alan Stotz.
Stotz. Well, okay, that was it. All right. Okay, Alan, okay, and Aggie Wilson. That's okay, right?
You said that just fine.
I know, good. I know. It's kind of like Marcia Cook, right? It's easy. All right. So I want both of you, okay, Aggie, why don't you just talk a little bit about what you've done, and then Alan will do the same, and then we'll just have a conversation about a lot of things.
Okay. Well, I'm a children's writer and illustrator. I was one of the founding members of yellowpalooza.com. If you go and look on the web page, you can actually find our Face Out group. That was one of my critique groups. And in 2004, I believe it was, I wrote an article for Quim. So that article appeared, and as a result, we created the website. So if people were curious about us, they could find out. I've written a few books, and you can access them through that website, as well as my critique partners' books. And I've been an active member of SCBWI. People who have been might recognize me from writing for the Bulletin or putting some of my illustrations in.
Right, you're an illustrator too, right?
Yes, yeah. And right now, I'm foraying into self-publishing, and it's a brave new world out there, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, we will talk about that. Yes, it is. Okay, Alan?
I'm a children's picture book writer, and I also write stories for children's magazines. I have one book out called The Pea and Peanut Butter, and then I also have a story in a book that's filled with 31 children's stories, and one of those stories is mine.
Yeah, I was going to say, that wasn't all yours. So it's a lot of authors. So, right, I rarely see that with children's lately. That's a good thing.
Yeah, it's just something new they started. They have been just an e-zine magazine. In fact, I sent my story in just for their magazine, and they printed it in their e-zine magazine, and then now they're just starting doing this collection of children's stories and
like
putting
an anthology,
them in book
but
format.
Hardly, yeah, I think it's a really good idea. I think it's a good
it
idea.
It is a good idea. I hope it's a success. I hope they continue with it.
Well, that's what we're going to talk about today, all the things that they need to help all the authors so we have successful careers. You know,
uh-huh.
this is necessary. You know, I mean, you do a blog, and you know, and I do, and we all do blogs and everything like that we're supposed to do. But the fact is that we need some help, and that's one of the things I wanted to bring up today because I used to do shows all the time. I was on Red River, and we started there. So did Virginia. We all did. You know, most of us, Fran, all of us, and we were all with Red River, and there was many different kinds of shows, but we all started there, and I did a lot of children's shows, and I had a lot of children's authors on, and then I think now, well, Virginia Grenier and I started our company, started World of Ink Network for radio shows. We've been doing shows together for 3 years, but we've been on World of Ink for over 2 now, and we've been talking to so many different people, and everybody that we talk to, I mean, it's not only children's, but we're focusing on Children's Day because I'm afraid, because I've been an agent and I've been doing this for 20 years, and I'm afraid people are just going to stop writing children's books because why would they if the libraries, Barnes & Noble, all the stores are not, that they're not having as many book signings, and if you're self-published or even if you're not, it's difficult to get into the libraries and the schools, and the kids really love to talk to authors. And I'll just add that I had been at one where the Scholastic comes in and they bring their boxes, which is great. They sell all the books and they bring them into the school. However, the kids never get to talk to the authors, and I think that's a real shame. And I want kids to read, so, and we all do. Every children's writer has one thing in common: they want the kids to like the book, but they want them to read. So, I mean, how do you feel about it, Ellen? What about you? So, how do you feel about all this? That it's tough for all of us to get out into these places.
It's more than tough, and it's really frustrating and hard to keep your momentum going when it just seems like you're doing everything that you're supposed to do, but you're not selling any books and you're not getting the support that you need. And I'm almost at my wit's end wondering, what do I do next?
Well, that's the problem. That's the thing. I'm afraid that people are going to start quitting writing. And, you know, I myself want to write more children's books, but I'm thinking, like, why would I do that? I mean, it's not, that's what's happening.
I do, too, and it seems like the only people that are writing children's books that are a success and selling their books and getting their books out to the kids are people that are already famous.
They're the ones
that are getting all the support.
Personally,
I feel like we need some more support from our publishers, because the publishers are the ones that have all the connections and they can help get the word out about our books. But
it's very hard to do, you know, it's really hard. Now, Aggie, I heard you on the show when you were talking with JD, you know, you said your story is really cute. It's about a grandmother, and one of my stories is about a grandmother. I had a very good relationship with my grandmother. In fact, she died at like 103, so I had her for a lot of years, okay?
Wow.
And, my Emelina book, who Emelina comes on every now and then to a story time, and, you know, that she has a grandmother, because I think I was so lucky to have one, I wanted to add one in the book. So I heard what you said, and, you know, and I heard your book. It was so sweet, you know. And
Thank you.
Kids don't change, you know.
No, I absolutely agree. I think, that was my very first story, and because it was a very personal story, this is a talk show about writers, so I'm going to be more personal about my process and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was... Because it was such a personal story, because it was starting to go out of fashion, it got a lot of personal rejections, and it got me an entree into the world of children's publishing because they liked my work, but it obviously wouldn't sell because of those drawbacks. And I think that part of the problem right now is the whole publishing industry is in flux.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at ways of taking things outside of the box. So, for instance, there's other technologies that authors can utilize, like Skype.
Yes.
I have a number of friends who
can't... Skype, school. Somebody was on a show talking about that, that if you put in something like Skyping at schools, you can find places to go. Is that?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, and I've had friends who've successfully done that because for one reason or another, they're very popular, or sometimes traveling is a hardship for them, and Skype is a good solution. And I think that there's other ways of getting around some of these things, because I don't really see publishers being more forthcoming. A lot of the people who absolutely love the business are leaving it because of some of the changes that have happened. You know, you can find a lot of wonderful for those people who self-publish. If you self-publish, I would say you need an editor. You know, you need a critique group. You need an editor. You still have to go through the process to make sure that what you're doing is up to par. But there's so many editors out there now who have a shingle out there saying that they'll do it for you, as opposed to for the publishing companies. So I think there's ways of thinking outside of the box and getting yourself there.
I think there definitely is. And, you know, Virginia and I and JD were constantly thinking of things. And Fran Lewis she's a reviewer, a wonderful reviewer, and she has children's books herself, you know, and she has a whole series of books that are, you know, it's important that it gets out. And she was in the education field for 30 years, you know, and it's like no matter, it doesn't really matter. Everybody has credentials. I'm just afraid because I just see myself. I went into writing romance, and I still, you know, I really do want to write more. I would like to write young adult, and I'm thinking I do screenwriting, and that's what I started to do years ago, but I've done a lot of other things. But we're finding now in the screenwriting, I had an author, you know, a show last Friday, we were talking about that. Hopefully they're going to realize that people have grandparents and parents, you know, and those things are important because kids need to read about that, and it doesn't matter if it's 50 years ago, 40 years ago, right now. I mean, kids, the same thing when you're a little kid, it's still the same. Nothing. They don't know about a lot of the things yet, and they enjoy a lot of things that kids did 40 years ago. It's not that different.
Absolutely, absolutely. It was surprising. I'm working on a mid-grade, and it's set in my childhood, and it's considered historical fiction, which is kind of surprising because I don't think of myself as being that old, but it's true. You know, things have changed so quickly so much, and when I first came to the web, there would always be these memes that would be passed out around with children's writers about if you were born 10 years ago, this didn't exist and this didn't exist. You know, it's like
that's right.
But because we lose touch unless you're actually writing about those times. But again, even if you're writing historical, you have to think about how that relates to the children today, because if it's so far removed. The experience, you know, if the whole thing is so far removed from kids and it's not emotionally true, then they can't relate to it, you know.
I think you know, kids are still little, though. You know, I was, I just think kids are little, and they can just grasp, like, little poems, and they enjoy these things. And they really like, you know, when I went to the schools, you know, I used to go out. Now, I think I'm going to do that again, but when I went out with the schools, it was so much fun because the kids, you know, I'm thinking they're not going to buy my book after I'm done because I'm reading it. And I was so, like, happy when they wanted to buy it after that I read it, because that mean they liked it. And they're very happy to talk to authors. And I have been at schools where they put me outside because Scholastic had the library and I had to go outside. It was horrible. And I don't there's nothing wrong with Scholastic. I think Scholastic should open their doors to a lot more publishers, because it's not all Scholastic. They should allow some of the self-publishing that are good. Listen, there's bad books in regular public. It doesn't matter. There's bad books all the time. And it just don't say somebody has a bad book because it's self-published.
And I think that is changing. I think there's a lot of people. And granted, some of it's more ancillary.
Yeah.
Like you'll hear about people like Amanda Hawking who wrote some
romance,
online books, and she did extremely well, and then she got a more traditional route. But there's other stories of that happening more and more. I think that they're going out. But it's getting hard. I've been interested in apps, and Roxy Monroe has been a really wonderful mentor and fount of knowledge, she and Will Terry. But it's getting harder and harder for somebody like me who has to teach themselves everything every step of the way and
have
to, like...
you know what, though? I think everybody has to teach themselves. I had, this is a funny thing. Today, somebody called my office, and it was a client I had, like, I think 7 or 8 years. He had a very interesting script, and he had a book, and he had a lot of things, and he's wanting to come back. He had finished the book, and he wanted to know it. And I said, really, you don't need me right now, because I'm going to tell you that now everything has changed. I started talking to him, and within a half hour, he said, oh, I got all these notes. I'm going, like, all right, you know, because 5 years ago, you could not have the career you can have now. You have to continue. Okay, the only thing that bothers me is with the children's books, the good news is that the app, all the apps now can be used on different readers, not just an iPad, you know, and some of the readers are a lot less money. The iPad was very expensive when it started, but now it's affordable to a lot of people because there's a lot of readers. The e-readers are all over the place, but the kids, hopefully they'll start reading more, and I think they will, because the more people get these things, the better it will be. But for a while, nobody was doing this, and kids' books for $20, I think a lot of parents can't do that now.
I agree. But what's happening now with a lot of the app stores is if you have an iPad, you can develop your own application and for very little money upload it. I don't have an iPad, so if anybody wants to give me one, I'll be happy to take it.
There are people that do that. There are people.
But that is. The unfortunate thing is because everybody's doing it, there's a lot of things out there that really are counterintuitive. You know, I'm kind of a purist. I think that a book needs a good story. It doesn't matter whether it's got the bells and whistles or if it's just something that's being read to. It has to be a good story first. The second thing, it has to be something that engages a child, because if they aren't going to listen to it or they're not going to read it, you've defeated your purpose, and then everything else should follow, whether it's a beautiful picture or, you know, presentation or whatever. So,
see, I think you're right. I mean, this is how we all feel. But, you know, I think, you know, one of the problems is what we started to touch on before is, okay, the editors. Okay, now, when you write a book, your editor is not supposed to redo your book, okay? The editor is supposed to change it, but what's happening is the people that are writing, some of them are not very good, and they don't want to keep doing it. You get better as you keep going. So the editors are writing books now. And the editors, some editors shouldn't be writing books because they're good at editing, but they're not good at writing. You know, if you're an editor, doesn't mean you're creative.
Yeah, you know, I think that that's probably something that's always been true of everything. I worked in a foundry many years ago, and it was amazing to me. I couldn't afford to cast my own work in bronze. And I was a creator, but there were a lot of people who had made a lot of money in real estate or, you know, banking, and they'd retired, and they'd always wanted to do it. So they had $10,000 to laying around to do that with.
Yeah.
And so I think that to a certain degree, there'll always be that, you know, drugstore.
Yeah, but it is better now. It is better for people because there are things we could do, and that's why I'm thinking that I'm going to have more of the children's shows, but we're trying to get chats going and things like that that they do in romance, because I've done a lot of romance shows, and I was having a great time when I wrote one. I started out writing romance, not the erotic type. I did this series was a character that I had written that in a screenplay, so I was having fun doing that, but along the way, I'm realizing how many blogs there are and how helpful, and the covers are on the blogs, and, you know, I myself am paying somebody else, because Francesca, who's on my show, I'm paying her a certain amount of money to be on, which is not very expensive, to be on her blog, because she's got a great blog with all these romance writers. You have to get yourself out there, and
I think that's the biggest thing. That's the hardest thing, because there's so many people out there doing that. Getting in front of other people.
Right. And you need to get in front of readers, not just writers. Facebook, a lot of writers, okay?
Yeah,
I've met a lot of writers, but that doesn't help us sell books.
Yeah, that's my problem is I have, you know, friends and followers on my blog, but they're probably 99% other writers.
And there's nothing wrong with that because
that's good information.
Exactly. You've got to get out there for the readers as well.
In the last 3 years, I've learned so much from all of the shows that, you know, when I was on Red River, I listened to there were a lot of hosts on there, and Virginia Grenier, she had a wonderful Stories for Children magazine, and I mean, I've learned a lot about how to do these things, but it doesn't. But the things that are happening now aren't for children's authors as much as they are for other authors. So that's why I think that we're going to try to figure out things to do, because I really think that, you know, and I do think people have to pay for certain things. You know, well, I know Virginia does tours and she does great ones, but now she's doing mini tours because people can afford to do these things. And I'm thinking that if people put $25, $35 their pictures on different sites, I think it's worth it because you get a different group of people. And those are readers a lot of times, and that's what we all need.
I think the hard part is there's so many, like right now I'm on Pinterest. Because somebody I admire has said that this has done wonderful things for him. I'm trying to become more active in LinkedIn, and I found out that my profile is one of the 5%, top 5% viewed in LinkedIn. So I must be doing something right, but it's not getting me any work.
Well, see, but it just takes a long time. But see, LinkedIn is a lot of professional people, but they're writers, authors. But the thing is, what we need as writers, our authors. I mean, our readers. That's what we need.
Oh yes, so, but what I was trying to say is on LinkedIn, I do also freelance work. So this,
you find readers
this
there?
Is across
yeah,
the board.
Find...
I do Goodreads. I do all kinds of other things. And what ends up happening, and if you're not really careful, is it takes so long to figure out these interfaces. You spend so much time on the
Goodreads
on social media
all the time. I go on Goodreads and I go like, oh my god, I have to leave now. I can't.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I have 8 books and they're different genres. It's too. I go like, I can't do this because I spent so much time on marketing. I've made myself a decision. I made a decision. I can't do all this marketing anymore. I don't want to because I want to write, and that's what I'm doing.
I know. That's the hard thing.
Does not leave time for writing, and it really is a writer's block. I think, you know, and so what we've done, even for the World of Ink, what we've done is J.D. had started with myself, but J.D. had done a lot of it. We had the authors of World of Ink Network, because we are all authors and we don't sit and talk about all the books that we've done. So we have now a blog that we also have, you know, a blog and for other things. But this is just for the authors so people know that we actually have done books, so we really know how it feels. It's like we're right there with everybody else. You know, I mean, I've done this for 20 years in different aspects. I was an agent and I'm a screenwriter, a children's book, adult, but it remains the same. I don't want people to stop. And I think that with the children's market, I'm feeling it's because a couple years ago, I knew a lot more people out there that were children's authors. And it's dwindling year by year because it's not really because their books aren't good. It's because the libraries have stopped, and I think that that's one of the things. If they don't want kids to always be on the e-readers, then the libraries have to have. Remember they used to have those little nights where the kids would, you know, they'd have pajama nights, a lot of libraries. Some schools.
Yeah, and some libraries still do that, but when you're in the bigger cities, like Baton Rouge, I went to one of the big libraries in Baton Rouge and gave them my book, and they wanted me to send out 15 copies to all these people to read, and I said, I can't do that. I mean, so
I know.
I sent out like 3 of them, and they told me that my book was not good enough for their library.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
It's such a the peanut butter?
Yeah,
it's so cute. What is going? See, this is the thing. I think what's happening is they expect e-books came in and everybody, but they forgot about the old methods. You can incorporate both methods in, okay? And let the kids decide if the books are good. You know, if you go to the library and you see books that are from 100 years ago or 60 years ago, okay, they're half ripped and everything, and those books, they let them take out and everybody, they don't give other people a try. What is the big deal about taking a couple books in and see if kids like it? I don't see what the problem is.
I don't know. And even when you want to, a lot of us authors will give free copies.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
I would
have
it at a
bookstore.
Yeah, I gave them to bookstores, and then they were supposed to call me, and then they call me, and then they lose the books. I gave them, like, 5 books. I'm thinking, like, this is ridiculous. What do you mean you lost the books? I mean, really? You know, and they did. They lost them. And then forget this. I brought 3 times to one of the libraries here. 3 times that I brought in different books, and then I had somebody else bring them in, and they can't even find them. So, I mean, they're not paying attention. Yeah. And I think
Have you thought about doing this online as far as – I have a friend who had a very successful book, and it had had an unusual path to publication. It actually took a number of years from the time that it was sold until it was actually brought to market. But during that time, what she had done is she had become she'd gone on the listservs of teachers and librarians, listservs, and had conversations with people.
Yeah.
So they knew her, and when her book did come out, they were looking for it. And it was a wonderful book. It was quite a good book.
And because it did,
it took off like lightning.
Yeah, and the kids like it. I've gone to schools. The kids are happy with it. So I just, you know, I figured, well, all right. And so then for the last year, I wrote the series for romance, and then I'm thinking, what should I do next? And I'm probably going to take more characters. I have many ideas that I want to do, and I can write them fast if I needed to because I can. They're not that long, and I can do it. But I don't feel like I want to self-publish again. And because I think that I do not like the way they talk about self-published books, because it is not true. Yes, some, but not all. That's right. And it's, you know, I was on a site the other night, and actually I'm going to see if they can come on. You know, it's, I don't even know how I got, you know, I'm looking for things. Sometimes you don't even know how you got someplace, but it's a place where they have free books. I just want free books. And it says here, like, it's www.childrenslibrary.org, and it's book preview. I don't really know. It's for international. It's everywhere. And so I'm actually going to read a book. I'm not going to read it, but I'm going to talk about it on JD's next show. But, I mean, it's, I think JD does have a show this week, actually. I just thought of that right now. I didn't talk about her show. Right, JD, I think you're in the chat room.
Right, JD.
I think I did. I don't know if she, right. She didn't put it out because I didn't tell her yet about what I was going to do. But for, as Emelina, but it was a very small little book about a small little message that was an important one. It was a brother and sister going to a library just picking out a book. That was it. But I thought it was so just small. And that's all a kid needs is enough to know that, oh, yes, I'll go to the library and I'll pick out some books. And I thought it was a cute idea, and it's a free book. So I'm going to work on that to see if they can come on. They're all over the world. And I think that I'm asked them what authors have to do to get their books in there. So then I'll post it once I find out, because I think you just probably give it to them. And if they like it, they'll put it out. But it's all different languages, and I think that's a good idea. So
I mean,
that's what I'm
link.
Looking for. Yeah, I'm going to try to find this out, you know, because Virginia and I both do, you know, what I do is if I see somebody that I like, then I ask them to come on the show, or I try, you know, and I'd like to get some publishers on to hear what they say, but a lot of them don't want to come on. They don't want to hear what everybody else says, you know.
Well, it's also kind of, as I say, it's in flux. It's a really difficult time. There's a lot of, I can't remember which one it was, but they're making some marketing decisions that I think are rather short-sighted, so that sometimes they'll take an imprint on in an idea of trying to save something, and it's actually counterintuitive to what they're doing on another end of their imprint of their brand name. So they're having some real issues, and some of the big companies are failing, frankly. One of the things that I would suggest, too, for anybody who's interested in this, it's like there's a lot of online resources. I subscribe to the Horn Book online, that particular brand, which is it's a lighter version of the Horn Book. It doesn't have all the reviews, but it has some really great articles still. And you can get that free online if you subscribe to it. And I
what you could do is you could always send them to me, the links, and we'll put them out. The links, yeah, whenever you can, you know. And
okay.
To you, Ellen. I do think that what we're talking about today, what we need to do is anybody that's listening, and we're going to, this is on demand, so it's, you know, we get a lot of people after that, is that we have to start sharing again. I think what happened is people aren't sharing like they did, and I think that people need to share the news with everybody else. And I think a lot of times they're not even going in the blogs and signing up because they're afraid that everybody is going to start calling them or emailing them.
Yeah.
But, you know, and they're in blogs, but they're not signing up to do
well,
it.
Well, and I think writers need to be, I mean, some writers are very generous with their time and they
yeah.
help other writers, but then there's other writers that you go onto their blog and
yep,
you leave a comment and then they don't follow up and do it in return.
I know.
I'm guilty of that. I have, in all fairness, because I agree that is a really important thing. As somebody who writes and illustrates, and I do a lot, like right now, I'm formatting an e-book for a friend and doing the cover. So I do other things besides those things.
Hey, let me ask you a question. That's Aggie, right? You're Aggie.
Yes.
Aggie said that, right. Okay, Aggie, you say that you're formatting. Okay, do
mm-hmm.
you do that for do you offer that as a service?
Well, I do for a few people. What I found out is a lot of people think that I'm a lot more expensive than I actually am. But there's a lot of people out there.
We need that. I mean, at World of we have a lot of people that are coming to me that need to have their books put out on like a creative space, or they really need formatting. That's what you do, right?
Yes. Yeah, I did. Nana's Gift was my first attempt at it, and I made the premium catalog in Smashwords, and it was accepted to Amazon. It's around the world, so yeah.
So
I can do picture books, and I can also do regular books. Pardon?
Oh, I think Fran is saying, she said, I would love you to do my show. I know that you cannot do shows. Oh, she's talking to JD in there. I'm thinking that somebody was asking a question, but no. I think that, you know, I think that we can help you, you know, get some people to do, because I know that people need this badly, okay?
Well,
and
I'll tell you
what,
I will make sure that you have all of my contact information,
okay?
Okay?
And also, the other thing is that children's books are harder. I know that.
Yes.
That's the tough one. But will you do regular other books, too, format for other people?
Yes, I will.
Okay.
Within reason.
That's actually easier.
I prefer not to do any editing. You know, it needs
no,
to come
no
to
editing,
me.
No. These
yeah.
are books that probably would be edited, and what they need to do is go have an e-book.
Yeah.
Or get a creative space book, but they have the cover and they have the book. It's already done. They just need formatting. Because that's not easy. I mean, some people say, oh, it's easy. It's not easy to do that. A children's book is hard, too. It's not that easy. Everybody can't do these things. I think sometimes, like, you know, people don't give themselves enough credit when they can do things. I know JD puts her books on, too, and she does a wonderful job, and you do. I mean, this is hard. I can't do this. This is not, I tried. It was did not work well for me, you know, and I'm not an editor. I have my books edited. So, I mean, I am like everybody else. That's what I say to people.
Yeah.
You know, just because we have a show doesn't mean we don't. I go through a lot, okay? I've done this for years. Virginia, we all do. JD, Fran, we all are authors. And, you know, and it's tough because, you know, what we do is right.
Exactly.
And, you know, and
well, and that is what it comes down to. It's
yeah.
like how much time do you want to spend on doing something for, like, a lot of the reason why I'm doing that right now is for there's a little bit of personal upheaval going on in my life, but I also want to be able to support the book that I'm writing on. I have a picture book and a mid-grade that I'm working on. So in order to enable myself to work on that.
This does give you an income. This could give you an income because this is a very big problem. People really need to have this done, and they're going to self-publishers that are charging a fortune. To see,
yeah.
This is like my claim of life. It really, from 15 years ago when this first started, and I think I published like about 10 years ago when iUniverse came about, but before that, people were charging like $6,000. I mean, it was ridiculous. You know,
oh,
nobody
wow.
would do this. Yeah, I had a client.
I'm charging not too much.
I had a client that called me up one day and said they had their book done, and I went, really? And they told me, and it was very inexpensive at iUniverse at that time. And I said, oh, fine, I'll do it. And I started to do it. And then I thought, like, oh, and then Fideli did my children's books. I never, ever thought they'd get published. I mean, being an agent, you would think that they would pay attention, and I had so many good clients. Their work was wonderful. Children's books, every time, they weren't taking them, you know, and that's what happened. So the publishers now, I mean, they're not doing as good as that they could be doing because they've sent a lot of people that are excellent happy, and they're not out there.
Well, a lot of it was the bottom line, and the unfortunate thing is when the bottom line becomes a bigger and bigger chunk of everything, because it takes time and effort. Have you read Ursula Nordstrom's book on her collaboration with Sendak? You know, those things just don't happen anymore. It took years for the wild things to be born.
Yeah, right. I'll tell you, it does take years. But the thing is that actually when this old client called me today and we were talking, so much has changed. And it really, if you have your book edited and you have a cover, you can get it out there on Smashwords and Creative Space and you're done. And you go out and you can go out. You can't go out unless your book is finished. And this way it's finished. And children's books, I know they're harder. But I think that if we can help people get their books out there, and if we can all as a group go together and just as the fact of sharing and trying to, you know, even if someone has to pay $25 or $30, let's just, I think that might be Virginia. I don't know if that's Virginia. I think it might be. Wait, hold on one second. Virginia?
Yeah, it's me.
I thought it was you. Okay. All right. There's Virginia Grenier, the other half of World of Ink, and her specialty is children's books. What do you say about all this?
It is a very difficult market, and everything you guys are saying is very true. I actually know quite a few authors who are with, you know, traditional publishers that have been doing this for a number of years. Two of them are New York bestselling authors, and you know, they get, like, I'm out in Southern Utah, and in the state of Utah, all three of them, they're all three men that write, and they get out into the schools. I'll actually say who they are. It's Rick Walton.
They've been on your show, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Well. No, these guys haven't been, but I know them, and I talked to them all. But Rick Walton, who is known as like the granddaddy of picture books out here in Utah, he teaches over at BYU University a lot of different courses and workshops for writers. He's a phenomenal man. But I've talked to him, you know, in depth. He's actually has come and done workshops for the writers down here in Southern Utah, because he's up in the Orem and Provo area near Salt Lake City. And he's done workshops at my house, and we've, through email when he's been down, and phone conversations, because I asked him about trying to get into schools and libraries, and it's funny because he's published with Penguin, he's published with, I'm trying to think of them, I think he has one with Simon & Schuster, I could be wrong about that,
We won't hold you to it.
Don't hold me to them all. I mean, he has some books with small, you know, small indie presses, and he has books with, you know, some of the bigger guys. And he does riddle books and he does picture books. Those are the two genres that he focuses in. And I asked Rick, I said, hey, Rick, you know, I'm having a hard time getting into my school district down here. You know, every time he comes down into the Washington County area, which is where I live in Southern Utah, and he does his, you know, his presentations at the elementary schools. I help him because he has Parkinson's disease, and so he'll let us know when he's coming down and ask if one of the authors can, you know, basically be a sidekick and help him throughout his day. And I've been with him many times, so I've met a lot of the school principals. They're librarians. They've seen me with him. So you would think when I would go to these guys, let me in.
Yeah.
They don't. And I asked Rick about that. I'm like, what's them? Like, you come down here, they see us with you. You know, I've sat in conversations with you when you've come out to the schools, and he laughed. He actually chuckled at me. He's like, you know what's really funny? When my kids were in school and I first started writing, I couldn't get into my own kids' school district to save my life.
Yeah.
He's like, that's why I go out down to Southern Utah all the time. He goes, because to go here in the Provo Orem area is almost impossible for me because I live here.
Yeah, I think that's
so
true,
weird.
Too. I can't get press in my area. I live in Maine.
Isn't that weird?
And I've had
that's
articles
weird.
Written about me in other places.
Yeah,
I've called up and volunteered it, and they wouldn't take it.
It's insane. I mean,
yeah,
you know.
And I really honestly thought it was because I was with a smaller press, and when, you know, here he is, you know, like, and I do know he has a book with Penguin. I'm, you know, a few books with Penguin. I'm starting thinking, you're with Penguin. I mean, this is not a small publisher. This is a big guy.
Yeah.
He's like, I know.
And
Brandon Mall and James Dashner, who are the two New York best-selling authors that I know who write middle grade and YA books. You know, they've told me similar stories. I mean, and they said in Utah because they're Utah writers, and they have a huge following here. It's not as hard as when they try and break out of state. And these guys have their books on the New York bestseller list. So it really isn't,
you know, but we could, you know, look at, I mean, because, you know,
everybody has a problem.
We could figure out what we could do. I'll tell you something. So this is what, you know, I mean, Virginia knows I've talked to her about this. I mean, that's why with Aggie here and, you know, Alan, you know, there's somebody going to come on my show, and she has done this book called, you know, it's a street tracking book. It's Street Teams. And a lot of the romance writers are starting to do that where they help each other out there. Okay, and she's coming on in May 7th, but her book is 99 cents, and it's on, I could put it out on the website, but what happens is you get fans, and that's what you have to work for, the fans, and the fans go out, and they, you know, you give them bookmarks in different countries, it's even in, you know, and many different places, and you go out, and they go, you know, they like your work, and they send it to libraries. They go all over, and they do it for free. I mean, they love the writers. So I think
Marcia, what I was going to say is that's honestly, and when we started talking about that, that's when it really clicked in my brain, and I realized that's the difference. Because when I've talked to Brandon and James when they've come down in my area, and I've gone out to dinner a couple of times with James Dashner when he's been down here with a few of the authors, and we'll sit and talk, and he said that honestly, what really makes the difference for him is the fans. It's getting, you know, the kids energized and their parents and them going out and really doing the footwork and spreading the word about his book. Because as much as they love their publicist and that they do get him out there, it's really that's where the roots are.
Yep, I agree. And a lot of times when you're creating something, you also have to make sure that the book that I had spoken about with my friend who had the circuitous route, she wrote a niche book, but it was one that when she wrote it, there was very little written on the subject. There was very little known about it. There was very little portrayed about it within the media. So it dealt with autism and what it's like to grow up with an autistic sibling. And it struck a chord. You know, it's taken off like wildfire, and it's just touched a lot of people's lives.
So
literally, communities
and
will take part enacting her book and that kind of thing. So having a book or a piece of work that actually reaches out and...
But you don't know what that is sometimes. I mean, you know,
no.
The thing is, you don't know. And so I'm wondering if Alan and Aggie, you know, if they want to, if we're going to start to do something like this, if we start doing chats online, chats, we should probably all start doing them, and maybe we can do it as World of Ink, you know, starting with the children's authors to see how this works. Because, you know, at first they say it takes time because you have to get an audience, but the chats really help, and then people really start being your fans and going out and really help you. And she had 80 people helping her, 80.
I agree. Don't ever denigrate the power of an idea. I talked with a friend of mine a long time ago,
right,
Bonnie Becker, and I had said something to her about, I just had this really strange idea for a picture book. She says, oh, my goodness, work on that. And I said, what do you mean? She says, well, the weirdest idea that I have ever had was Christmas Crocodile. And if you, I don't know what bookstores are out there nowadays because I don't get out much, but for many years, if Christmas was there, her book Christmas Crocodile was amongst them. And it was it had come to her, I think, in a dream, she had said, but it was just the strangest thought, and she thought, well, what can I do with that? So a lot of times it's a matter of being unique. Finding something that touches you, that excites you, will probably excite some kid. Because, you know, we all have the same stories, but we can't tell them the same way.
You're right, because, you know, I mean, what touches one's heart usually touches another. I mean, you know, if it's got that feeling in it, you know. But I think that, you know, with everybody working together, I do think that we can make this happen for some authors that have really good books out there, and including our own, to get out there and just to know that people are listening. You know, it's not that I think that if you go to schools, I don't have a problem when I go to the schools. However, because they buy them, but it's hard to get into school. So we
yes.
need to probably figure out things to do, because there are literally hundreds of millions of people online, and they don't, and they can possibly understand this once we start this going, because I think it's working for other people in romance, so I think it would work for kids, you know, because the mothers that write romance, they have kids.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
Yeah, the kids get
right,
because when I have my shows for romance, they all have kids. They're all in the PTA. They're all the same. You know, I think people, that's one of the reasons I started doing romance, is to show they're just like everybody else. And because a lot of people say, oh, they're how they write. But no, they're just like, and the horror writers too, they have kids. You know, and it's like, so all of these people have kids. And if everybody helps everybody else, I think this can work. Because I think that instead of children's writers giving up, they'll write more books.
Well, and Marcia, I'd say, Marcia, you hit a really good chord with that, because when I do the tours, and I've had children's authors and YA
right.
authors look at me kind of sideways, like I'm nuts, because I'll let them know that I'm going to put them on a, not like an erotic romance blog, but, you know, like a soft romance or, you know, chick lit kind of, you know,
yeah.
blog as one of their stops. And they're like, why would I go there? I'm like, okay, the first grader or the sixth grader or the ninth, well, maybe the ninth grader, that you are trying to target isn't usually the one who buys the book. It's their parents. It's the teacher.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
the grandparents.
True.
And so you need to go where these people are going to be looking at their type of reading
yeah.
to hopefully let them know, hey, there's this, you know. I'm like, so do a guest post or an interview on, you know, one or two, you know, not that's non-genre related to you
yeah.
that possibly could have, you know, the parent, the adult that's going to buy the book that you can, you know, capture. So, like Isosceles, the book that I'm touring for Scott Casely right now.
Right.
His book is a coming-of-age story. It's for YA readers, but there is a little bit of romance and mystery to it. So I targeted a couple of blogs like that for him,
yeah.
knowing that the adults might cross over and read it, or they would buy it for their teen.
Yeah.
And
that's
and
actually
that's
a great point.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I think sometimes as children's writers, we get so hooked, like we have to be on homeschool blogs and mommy blogger blogs. And it's like, that's great, but not everybody's over. I mean, you get
right.
a lot of educational-minded people maybe there, and you maybe get some of the, you know, very
you get to the real moms
conservative
and dads
parents.
And moms and dads and whoever is out there. I think
yeah.
majority, you know, there are men
yeah.
that buy books, but I think women buy more books. I think that's one of the, you know.
Right,
others.
And that's why I think it's important to get on some of those, you know, fantasy and chick lit and romance, you know. Like I said, it doesn't have to be like you're promoting the book. You could just do an interview. I mean, a writer is a writer. We all come up with ideas the way we come up with ideas. Everybody finds
like
it
interesting. I just like to add to that, and I don't want to be negative, but I'm on those other blogs. I have a lot of
you
writing.
Do a lot of blogs. Yeah, I know you do. I've been
I have a lot of writing friends that write the paranormal stuff.
Yeah.
And so I'm on quite a few of those blogs, and I've done interviews, and they've interviewed me, and I've interviewed them, but it's not helping.
Well, that's because, you know why? I think it's because it's not, you know, this is like everybody going together, like in a group, you know, that like the people, you know, if we do these things as groups, I think that will help, because it's, I think we'll target different people than the people that we already know that aren't buying the books, you know,
well,
but there are groups that buy books. That's the thing.
Well, and what I was going to say to that, too, is when writers, and that's the biggest thing I see with a lot of blog tours, which is one reason why I've really been, you know, very, very selective of who we bring on our tours, because I do have a few writers who have blogs that are a part of our blog
right.
tour, but Marshall will tell you this. I seek out people who are not writers.
Mm-hmm.
They are actually, like, teachers.
Yeah.
Or librarians
yep.
that have book review blogs, because that's exactly what happens. When writers are on other writers' blogs, even though their blog isn't about them as a writer, it's just about writing in general, or they do book reviews on it, it's usually other writers who follow it. It's rare that they have, I mean, they'll have some fans, but it's mostly their friends.
But the
right.
But like in the romance writers that I've had on my show lately, Francesca and Leah Christensen, you know, and Didi, all these people from all these erotic, they're erotic, and and they'll do other romance and writing. They help each other out, and they are readers. They have blogs. They're readers, not writers. And that's why it's so successful, because they read the books, they love the books, and they put them out there. And it's not all just, I mean, there are just
And that's what I'm saying. If you're going to target a blog that's outside of your genre of writing, so if you're writing a children's or YA book, and you're targeting a fantasy blog, or a chick lit blog, you want to make sure it's a reader's blog, not a writer's blog.
Yeah. I think there's a couple of things. Like, it's funny because I have a lot of librarians and teachers and people who just love reading books, and they blog, and I've not actually ever accessed them because most of them are for the older reader, and unfortunately the only thing that I published so far has been a picture book, even though a couple of people have said that I could probably target it as an all-ages kind of thing because of Nana. But the other thing that had occurred to me is, oh, and it slipped my mind, of course, because I'm on air. We were talking. Huh.
You were talking when you were on JD's show. You talked about the fact, which is what I heard in your voice, you know, how serious you were about the fact that some of these stories don't get out there.
No,
you know, and Alan, I mean, your book is very cute. You know, I mean, you know, for someone to sit there and say your book isn't good enough, I don't understand that. I mean, it's cute.
Well,
I mean,
I'm not even sure they read it because
that's exactly
they made
right.
That.
Well, see, that's the whole thing.
And then
thing.
After
right.
they made that comment, they said I might want to think about going with the traditional publisher the next time. However,
see, that's what's wrong. That's because they
that's
have
who
it in
I was
head.
With. I didn't
right.
sell. It wasn't a self-published book.
It doesn't matter.
Wow.
It doesn't matter sometimes because just because
I know
you,
it just matters if you hit somebody at the right time and you hit the right person.
But I think together we have to do this. I think Fran is saying a few things in the chat room. You know it's they have the fans and she's saying the tours. You know, in general the tours don't always help people sell books, but they get you out there. But I think what's happening now is people want to sell books. They've already out there, and that's the thing, is that they've been out there for years already, and they're tired of it. And they want
right.
to write, and they're tired of marketing because, you know.
That's where
I'm
at right
of,
now.
We all are. Yeah, I could say that most of the people that I've talked to in the last couple of weeks that have been doing this for year after year, they're tired of marketing. And, you know, I think in the romance, what they do is they just keep writing new books. Maybe we do that wrong because we're not writing as many books because we're just trying to market words. Like I'm saying,
what?
I'm waiting for them to sell, but they write books constantly.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. That's one of the tricks I've heard is you can't write one book. You have to keep writing and
right.
publishing books.
Right. They don't have to deal with the
yeah.
illustrations, though. Illustrations start costing money, though, and illustrations
yeah.
take time. And, you know, when you put a book out, like Aggie was saying, she can format, which is a good thing now that we know that, you know, and as far as that goes, because you can put those kind of books out easier. But when you have it's tough when you have to go to an illustrator, and that's what costs money.
Well, and I think that people don't realize, you know, from the writers, that having done both and doing both, the Nana's Gift that you... If
yeah.
you see the finished product, that was the first one that I had done, and I had done that completely digitally. And I had actually done three or four finished sketches in colored pencils before because that used to be the media I worked in. But those illustrations, that book, literally took me 4 months of constant working at it for me to get it done and published. And then it took me another 2 months to learn how to format it and learn how to upload it and publish it. The other thing that I think is a problem, and absolutely I agree that the more you have out there, the more likely. It's harder to sell if you have more than one genre. I write in more than one thing.
Oh, yeah.
And it's very difficult
yes.
because they don't just look for one thing, whereas Mo Williams, you know what Mo Williams does. But the other thing is there's an assumption, underlying assumption, I think, with a lot of people, and everybody's probably encountered it, is not only is it easier to write kids' books, perhaps you should write real books or adult books, but also that because you're a children's writer, you are a child. So I think that it's more difficult to have a real conversation, you know, and we all love kids, and I look at it as in order for me to do this, I need to make a living at it. But most people, well, you know, you're doing it for the children.
Yes, I
am, but I still need to make a living at it.
Right. And I think that
you
think that maybe
like
you can
make
a
dollar or two.
Right. You know,
or,
this is this is the
be
first
nice to
one.
Eat.
This is the first time
yeah.
we've done a show like this talking about these so, you know, just openly about this, because we're always talking about marketing, which place to go, but this is really what needs to change. So I think that I will continue to have shows like this. And, you know, I know that Virginia and JD and, you know, Fran, we're all thinking about these things. And I think that if we start, I mean, we have a lot of people listening to us, so I'm really hoping that people will help all of the writers that are good. I mean, we have people on that are great. I mean, we don't have just people on that just don't write. I mean, we really like the writers that we have on. So I think that, you know, if we all get together to try to do things for each other and try to work this out and make our own club, you know, not just to be like a, you know, from a club that was from 50 years ago, to start something new and saying, like, this is what we're going to do. We're going to try to get people that are fans that go out there, we're going to help each other. And I think we should try something new rather than go with the existing groups that aren't helping the writers. You know, a lot of the groups that are for children's writers, they don't accept self-published, but they need to change their ways because it's such a huge market.
Yeah,
you don't ever
right.
have to take a
it
book.
Is slowly
yeah.
changing. A lot of SCBWI meetings now, there's an awful lot of interest in self-publishing and
well,
more people,
is.
Especially because Will Terry is so open about his experiences, and he's so good at what he does. I think that the attitudes are changing, but you're right. It's a slow haul because there's
so
also
said,
a lot of stuff
so
out there.
What's his name? You said Will Terry?
Will Terry, T-E-R-R-Y.
Oh, okay.
He has a wonderful blog. If anybody, he's a children's illustrator.
Well, maybe we could have him on.
You would have to talk to him.
I will.
Yeah. Actually, he's one of my friends on Facebook,
okay,
so I'm sure that if
but
you approach him,
if
he wouldn't mind.
Do this? I think that it can be done. I really do. You know, I think that, you know, yeah, we might have to, you know, ourselves with Virginia and I will maybe put, you know, the children's books up on, you know, like the romance writers do and advertise, because I think that helps it to get your
name
out
there.
Well,
Marcia, could you explain what you mean by advertise?
What they do, this is what they do. What they do is on the sides of their blogs, they put your book and with the link to your book, and it goes along with their blog. So
mm-hmm.
if anybody that sees the blog sees your book.
Yeah.
And it's good because they do very well. Okay.
Are
and
you talking about on their own, like on my
no,
blog?
No, on their blog, like they have a company, like Under the Covers.
Oh, I see.
It's called like underthecovers.blogspot.com. Or
yeah. Well,
there's
that too. And
yeah.
he has art courses and things like that. So everything that he offers,
yep.
you can actually scroll down through, as well as a lot of the artists that he follows or who is connected
yep.
to him. So I think that that's a fabulous idea.
I mean, I'm paying someone to do that because it's not a lot of money. I'm paying $35 to have my book out there because I feel that this is the way the market is going. So and I wouldn't be paying $200 for an ad, but I'm thinking for a month you can and see people see it, and then every couple months you can put an ad of your book because this is what people need to keep seeing you. And I think as we were talking about the show today, I'm thinking, yes, I know. I'm thinking, I'm saying that the romance writers do this, that, whatever, but what the romance writers do is they keep writing children's adult books, and the children's writers are stopping because we're stopping to market. And then we're getting frustrated, and nothing happens.
Yeah. Well, in my case, I'm still working. But it's
too.
So labor-intensive.
I haven't stopped.
Yeah.
I haven't stopped, and I have contracts on 4 other books.
Right.
But
the problem is they
take so long to get done.
That's what it is. It takes a while to – like Nana's Gift is a quiet little book, but
yeah.
it took me over a year to write it.
But that's, you know, but that's what happens when you write. It does, you know, some people write faster. And I think with the romance writers, they know that they have to do it. And I know myself, I have to have another book out really soon, okay, because, you know, it doesn't matter how much you sell. And I'm not saying I don't sell books. That's not why I'm saying this. What I'm saying is I have to get another one out because they don't forget you then. Then,
yeah,
which is
right.
what happens is, you know, with the children's market, maybe somebody doesn't do a book for a couple of years. But the romance writers, they do like 4 books, you know.
Yeah.
But it the illustrations, you know, so there's drawbacks to that.
Well, I wonder if it's quicker and easier for the publishers to print out or get that romance novel ready for print versus
much easier.
The children's
well, and
book
I don't,
because,
they probably don't have some of the same considerations because a lot of times what happens with children's books, they want to see how your book sells before they go and give you another contract. So you aren't going to sell that book unless it's maybe with a different imprint. And a lot of people,
romance writers, I think they want their people to, the publishers, there's a lot of small publishers, and they want their writers out there, okay? And they want them out there a lot. So they do publish them, but they still have to be edited, and you find a cover, and it still takes time. But, you know, and we do, I have a blog, a romance blog with Bethany Cross. We do a romance blog, and the authors, because they're not doing it, the publishers, I said, fine, we'll do it. You know, send us the new books that are coming out, and then Bethany and I do, they put them on our blog. And it's just, you know, getting people out. It's the more the book goes out, the more people see each other.
Like,
yeah.
So I think that Virginia and I will think of some things, you know, and we'll contact you. But I think that if we all kind of do these kind of things, I think it will work. I really do. I think that we have to just start helping each other, and knowing that these books are good, the kids will like them. And we'll have to start talking more about the schools and try to do the street teams. I'm going to, when she comes on my show, Sarah Humphreys, she's coming on May 7th on an afternoon show. And when she comes on, I'm going to ask her how this will apply to children's books also. Because they do it a lot in romance, and they do it a lot in the UK, and that's the thing. The international markets really can help a lot.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Well, next week I'm actually doing my first Skype school visit.
Okay,
so I'll let y'all know how. Huh?
That's the next thing. I'm going to have to sign up for those things. I never wanted to do them, but I'm going to.
Well, I had a school from my home back home who contacted me, and I'm actually not Skyping on a like a kindergarten class. I'm Skyping on a sixth grade class because they're going to be working on a picture book for kindergartners. So they wanted to talk to a children's book writer to get some tips on.
Oh,
how to write their
books. That'll be fun.
So.
They'll come up with great questions, and it's such fun. So I think that, you know, so you'll absolutely let me know how it goes. And then, you know.
I don't know.
It
probably won't produce any sales for me.
But that's not real. Like Virginia, Virginia's still on. Like, it doesn't always do that, but it gets you to the next place.
It gets the word out.
Yeah,
and maybe some other schools will ask me to do it.
I'd be interested to know how that works and how you enjoy it, okay?
I've heard of the Skype thing. I haven't done it. I know a couple of people who've done it that said they really enjoyed it. But this is why I called in. I totally forgot why I called in originally.
Okay.
Marcia. And you guys continue on the Skype just a second. But when you guys were talking about school visits and the Skyping and all of that, the one thing that I've come across is, well, you know, usually it's because of the school's budgets, especially now. A lot of them don't have the funding to have authors come, which is why. It's also hard to get into a school district.
Well, I did
or
it
even
for
get...
free, though. I did it for free.
I've done it for free, too. And I've done and I don't know if you guys mentioned this, and maybe I missed it when I was calling in because I was listening to most of the show. There's two things that authors can do to get into schools, and I'm going to be very honest and say, have I tried this yet? No, because I'm just so busy doing other things. I've put my author career kind of on hold. But one is going to schools for free, but what you do is so you don't get screwed in the fact of not being paid and you're just hoping that maybe then they'll come and buy your book from, like, Amazon, or you can set up a book signing when you have your book signing, is to contact the school and say, I would love to come to your school and do an author visit for you. I understand your budgets are tight, but if you can, you know, send out before I come and get pre-orders.
I did that. Said, I did that. You know what? They all
you
came
let
with
me
money.
Finish?
They all
Marcia,
came with
I know
money.
You've done some, I know you've done some. I'm just saying for those who haven't heard this as a suggestion.
No, but what I'm saying is they came with money, and it's not a bad thing to do because the kids will buy the books. So, right.
Yeah,
no.
but did you do this? Because some schools even
no,
now
the schools
even doing
it. The schools
No. I know, but I know sometimes schools will send out the pre-order form so kids can order the
yeah.
No, I'm
right,
saying like
right.
to pre-order the books. So before
right.
you come, the books are already ordered. Do you know how many books, you know, have been pre-sold before your visit is what I'm saying?
No.
But one of the things that I've thought of, and I've know a few of the authors around my area that have done this, is they've told the schools to help them, is that 10% of the book sales,
yeah.
they would donate to the school's library. And schools or just school districts tend to jump on that bandwagon a little bit faster in having you come for that reason.
Yeah, I did donate books to the schools. Yes, I did. And then I also donated to a fund if they have a fund for somebody that was ill.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I did that too.
Well,
and that's a good idea to tell people, yes.
Yeah, so that's good. And then the other thing too is there's actually grants out there, and they're not that hard to fill out, that you can, when you petition a school or the school district, depending on how the schools are set, because sometimes people go to the schools and the principals or the people in the office don't tell you that you have to actually get clearance from the superintendent of the district to visit schools. So that's another thing.
It depends what it is, you know, what area.
Yeah.
Right. Some areas
are better. A lot of people don't realize you should always start with the school district level first, because a lot of school districts are that way. You have to get the approval of the superintendent before you can even visit a school. But is to let them know that there's grants available and already know, you know, do this research, have those grants in hand and say, I will fill out the grant for you. All you have to do is send it in, and this will pay to have me come visit your school.
Well, that's
good. And that's another way to get in.
Yeah, that's good to know.
I think something else that you need to look at, too, when it's appropriate, sometimes some books are, you can have lesson plans, and how it's appropriate, how it works into the how it works into the school's curriculum. So having that kind of educational basis, if you have friends who are teachers or who are familiar with leveled readers or any of those other things, that they can look at your book and tell you where it falls in the educational spectrum. A lot of times, that's another selling point, you know, because it has to be more than just a good story. A lot of times, it has to be something that they can actually teach too.
So I think this will help if we continue to do shows like this and we continue to find some new programs and ways to do things and do it ourselves to try to get in there, you know, and, you know, try, you know, I mean, I'm hoping that one day Scholastic will look at some of these other books and say, yes, we'll bring them, and but we'll also have author visits if you're in that town, you know, because I think that's what the kids want, like, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's another tip for selling books, and actually I've been in conversations with this one, and it depends. I know some of them call them PTA, some of them call them PTOs, but I have a friend who's actually my dog groomer that is over our PTO here for my local elementary school up the street where my daughter goes, and I've actually have judged writing contests and stuff. Well, they've been trying to come up with new fundraiser ideas, and a lot of the, you know, parent, you know, PTO, PTA groups are the ones that come up with the fundraisers. And so what I suggested to her, because I used to do an online magazine, was to get the kids, one, for them to start learning to be better about writing, is to put an anthology together of, you know, of like the fifth graders, the older
well,
classes.
Well, that's what Ellen just, that she has a book like that they did that with 31 stories, and that's a great idea.
Yeah, yeah. And you do that, and you do it as a fundraiser, and usually when you do that, they will let you put in the back of it as the author, you know, your book information and that kind of stuff too. So that's no way. Or even do a drive where you say, you know, again, you use your book as the fundraiser tool.
Yeah.
To get, you know, if you have quite, if you like, you know, like some of you ladies that, you know, have more than one book out, you know, you can say you guys get, you know, 25% of the book sales toward the fundraiser, and then they go out and they try and sell your book for you.
I think there's some valid points that we can take up now and try to think of some things that we can do, you know, because I think listening to Alan and listening to Aggie, they've been great, you know, so I appreciate this because, you know, this is very an interesting show. We'll put it out and keep it out, you know, because I think this is so necessary, and children's, and if there are children's story readers out there that parents and just want to talk about that, I still want to do a show like that for listening to what parents would like for their kids and just things like that.
Oh, I would love that. I think that
know.
Would be great.
Well, good. If I get the people, I've been trying. If we get them, I'll have you on. Because it's true. I think that's what we need to talk to. That's who would be a very good audience for us of what, you know, needs to be done out there. Because I think parents want their kids to have good, sweet books. I mean, they have enough time to grow up that the smaller picture books and the smaller interest books are fine for kids.
Yeah,
I agree.
All right, so I think this has been very interesting. And do each of you want to just say your, you know, websites and where they can find you? And we will keep in touch because I think we're going to do different things now.
Okay. Well, my website is www.allynstotz.blogspot.com.
Okay. And Aggie?
And I'm Aggie Wilson. I should be getting my website up and running sometime this month, but you can find me on Facebook, my work page, and yellowpalooza.com, yellapalooza.com.
Okay. And that's good. And then we should start developing some things where we can have, like, you know, chats and things. So I'm going to try to, you know, I'll talk to JD and we'll think about this, because I think that that will help all of us get to the people where we need to get to.
Okay.
So thank you both
good.
For coming on. Thank you both for
thank
coming
you.
On.
Thank you for having us.
Bye. Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Virginia?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, you're still there? Okay. All right.
I'm being quiet.
It's
your show.
Yeah, there's something. It's all right. It's fine. You know, but so I, these are good ideas. You know, so this
no,
is
I
a good
agree.
Thing.
I had a lot of really great ideas, and that's why I totally forgot about calling in about the grants and that kind of stuff, because
yeah,
I don't think
idea.
Authors realize that those are out there and available for this kind of thing.
Yeah, no, I that's probably true, but people say there's so much to filling out a grant. I've tried it. It's just maybe there's smaller grants, you know.
They're smaller. They're a
yeah.
lot smaller.
Yeah, that might work.
It's for an author to actually come to the school. It's to actually bring arts into the schools.
Right.
So that they're, yeah, you can do them in a night or two.
And then we'll try to figure out some things to do, all right? And they can always find us at Authors of World Inc. Network, blogspot.com, and World of Inc. Network.com, and Michigan Avenue Media.com, because we're always available to if you have ideas, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I they were very good, because both of them, I've heard them, on, you know, and their stories are good, and, you know, everybody wants to get out there, and we should, because they're good books.
Well, and that's the thing. I think everybody has down the idea of how to build their author platform,
yeah.
like you guys talked about. It's this book-selling part, but it takes building your author platform. I think
yeah.
it takes writing multiple books, not just
yeah.
one or two, and then marketing the tar out of it. And, you know, and again,
Aggie,
connecting
Aggie
with
did say that she does
other
put
people.
Books on. So we could use somebody that does put books on that we could
yeah.
send somebody to. She puts, you know, and it's harder to do children. So if they have a regular book, she'll do it too, you know, maybe to put them on
yeah.
there because, you know, and if they want to do their own book. You know,
right.
so we'll have to figure out, there's a lot of things to do. But you see, with children's, it is different than the romance because of the illustrations. That's the difference.
Yeah,
you know?
it's more.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's harder. There's more elements. There's more, you know, important details. I'm not saying there's not important details in romance.
But, you know, on a couple of my books there.
There's smaller details that you can't overlook.
But, you know, but I did some very cute books with clip art, and the kids loved
mm-hmm.
them just the same. So, you know,
yeah.
There is a lot of great clip art out there. You know,
yeah.
that.
And kids even like this. Well, let's say, you know, a lot of people go, well, you know, when you get into that, you know, the four-color, you know, type
yeah,
printing,
yeah, right,
that
right,
it gets
right,
really
I know.
Crazy. But here's something. A lot of kids, I mean, my daughter, she loves art. I mean, she's a big one for it. But she has picture books that are just straight pencil.
Really?
You know, sketches.
Sketching?
That
she likes
loves.
Them?
And she loves them. You know why she likes them? Because she'll have me copy certain pages, like certain ones that
uh-huh.
she likes. And I'll copy
color.
It. And she'll color it. I'll make a copy of it off my printer to color it.
I did forget
so
to ask,
you know,
next time because I think it's Ellen has a picture book where it's a coloring book. So I meant to ask
yeah.
her that. Yeah. So I think
exactly.
that, you know,
so,
I think that we're going to do this more often. I'm going to do this more often. I used to do a lot of children's shows, and you do, you know. And so I think that
mm-hmm.
this will help get people out there, and we need to do this. It's not really about just selling the last book. It's just about getting people interested in the books. And stop
yeah.
writing that. I don't want them to stop writing, because I think that you can hear from people that just don't know what to do anymore.
Well, and that's the thing. Everyone wants to stay to the standards, and it's fine. You know, do the basics, because I think you need to do the standard forms of outreach, because they're not dead yet. Cause
yeah.
obviously they're not. If they were, they wouldn't be around still.
Right.
But I think it's the outside-the-box thinking, looking for the alternative ways that you can pitch your book, get it out in front of an audience that maybe others haven't thought of that's unique. Because that's, I mean, and that was probably the biggest thing I heard from everybody was, it's the unique idea. It's the unique approach. It's the out of the
yeah.
norm.
Yeah.
And that's what catches people's attention.
Well, then we will have to think of things.
Right.
We will. All right. Thank you so much for being on. And I don't know what hit Bobby Schaefer never called. She must have the wrong date or something. So, Bobby, we'll have you on another time. And that's all. And then I think, yeah, I forgot. I think that JD does have a show on Saturday. So I didn't. It wasn't on the schedule, but Franz is Thursday, so
Yeah, I know Fran has hers Thursday from when I looked yesterday.
And I have
one
Tuesday. Do you have a show Monday?
No, okay. I don't have a show Monday. Actually, I am taking next week off from shows. I have taxes.
Yeah, okay.
That's got to get done. Just to remind everybody, April 15th is tax season, and I am already behind the
eight
ball when it comes
Brady Bug, is that right, John? Brady Bug, is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Jan's writing something in there. Okay. Smarty Pig. Oh, yes, Smarty Pig. Right. Right. You had her. Yes, that's who's on. Okay. Smarty Pig.
Okay. Oh, Smarty Pig, Molly Nero.
Yeah, she's coming. Yes. She's
oh,
on.
Wow. She finally
and
got Emelina in contact
will be
with
there,
her.
Too. And Emelina.
Yeah,
and
she's a Mom's Choice Award winner, so
yeah,
she's been a hard lady to track down. She has two books in the Smarty
there,
Pig.
Yeah,
series.
There's
maybe
two.
Maybe
her on. I know.
Yeah, because it's Smarty Pig, The Test-Taking Terror, and I think she has a third one now.
Right. But that's how I thought. Aggie was on, and so was Ellen. They were on JD's show, and they were really good. The stories were so cute. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, for someone that she's probably right. They never even read the book. That's why they were saying that they did, you know, because of Peter. It's so cute. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, all right, so we will be on again in the show, you and I, one of these days.
Yes, yes.
All right, good night, everybody. Bye.
All right.
Have a good night. Bye.